Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 4 in a study he's entitled Memorial Stones. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
The second area in chapter 3, I don't have an exact verse to point to, but the entire chapter, and that's what we're going to see the power of God manifested in our life. We have to walk by faith. Joshua had to walk by faith. He had to command the priests as the entire nation was watching him now as a new leader, saying, tell the priests to go out. And when, as soon as they put their feet in the water, the Jordan's going to part. It took priests to walk by faith at the command of Joshua, trusting that he's hearing from the Lord, because they would have looked pretty foolish if they walked out in the water and they stood there and nothing happened. But then it took faith on behalf of the entire nation, because as God parted the Jordan, it says the waters heaped up, they all had to hurry across and get through on dry land. Everyone was required to walk by faith. And any time, or I should say 99.9% of the time, because God is still God, remember, we don't want to say he always does this. He is sovereign, he chooses to work as he does. But 99.9% of the time, God requires faith on our part, and we're going to see the power of God work. And I'm going to continue to walk by faith, no matter what obstacle or setback or discouraging thing may come my way, because I'm going to walk by what the Word of God says and not by what I experience or based on my circumstances. I need to tell you that this was a difficult emotional week for my wife and I. We were hoping to adopt twins that were to be born on Friday, but we've heard no word from the family, and we're just kind of left in the point of, it's just not going to happen. So something went wrong. I mean, we went out and bought furniture and a crib, and someone from the congregation gave us some clothing and another crib, so we're ready for them, and we have a changing table. The only way I know how to describe it, it's like Christmas. You know, you get all ready, you go out there, and all your presents are gone. Like, what went wrong? Disappointment. But you know what? I'm not going to let that stop me, because God's put in my heart that my life for having children is not done, whether the Lord wants to give me children, Lisa and I, naturally. We're open to that. I'm not as old as Abraham yet, not even close. But also, there's a purpose that God has placed in my heart in the area of adoption. And if this situation doesn't work out, God has something else. And I'm going to walk in confident faith. I'm not going to let a setback say, well, what happened, and get mad and frustrated and discouraged, and God, why? My confidence is in the Lord. He's sown something into my heart of a purpose that he has for my life in the area of adoption. Also, I believe he wants to bring that greater into the heart of this congregation. So God's work isn't done there. So I'm not going to let something that's disappointing get my heart upset or disappointed or discouraged. I'm going to continue to walk by faith, because that's what God would require of us if we're going to see his power work. We had such a wonderful experience with Dylan and adopting Dylan, and I believe that God has even greater things down the road for us. Disappointing, yes, but I'm not going to let it stop me in my tracks. And I do believe that there are people here that have had some disappointments in the things of the Lord and God's kingdom, and you just kind of halted your walk with the Lord. That's not good. That's not right. That's not the response that the Lord is looking for. The Lord's looking for a response of faith, of saying, I don't understand why this happened, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to continue to move forward in the things of God. You have greater things in my life than having me experience these disappointments. We experience them, but we move forward in the things of the Lord. And hopefully you can look back in the past and look at how God has taken some of those disappointments and transformed them and changed them for his glory, and actually for your better, to bring about good in your life. So his plans are for a future and a hope, not for destruction. Now, I was thinking about my own past life, and there's certain memorial stones that I'd be able to place in my life where I've seen the power of God work. I know that the salvation that God brought to my life was the power of God, because I was sick, I had a swollen heart, I was away from my family, much of it due to my own rebellion and difficulty that I caused in my own life. So I was living with another family, and they were taking care of me. And at that point, God came in and rescued my life from sin, from sickness, and from eternal death. And the Lord raised me up. And I remember going into this Bible study, and I remember this Baptist guy was preaching, and it was like he was burying my heart in front of everybody. Everything he said, I could relate to. And I knew that God was speaking to me, and I just had to say, "Uncle, I give up. I'm not going to fight you anymore, Lord." I remember, and it was probably the worst sinner's prayer ever that anyone ever gave. I went home that night on the side of my bed, and I said, "Lord, okay, I give up. My life is yours." I remember praying also, and I hope I feel the same way when I wake up in the morning. Because I had went through my religious revivals. It didn't have any lasting impact. But I remember waking up that next day, and literally the whole, I was born again. I was a new creation, and everything was different. And I knew that something supernaturally had happened to me. And that was something I was going to hold on to. I was never going to go back into that ugly world that brings bondage and despair and just ruins lives. I was going to walk in the things of God so I could pile up these stones of the power of God in salvation. Then also in that Bible study that I was at, I saw people get healed. I got healed in my body. And I saw words of knowledge. I saw prophecy. And I saw people baptized with the Holy Spirit. I saw the power of God. So the next year when I went away to school at Point Loma College down in San Diego, my foundation was the Holy Spirit's alive and wants to work in our life. And I was at a school where the denomination said the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. And by God's working, he brought me and Brian Newberry together. He's the pastor down there in Calvary, San Diego. And we walked out of a class because people were saying, "Well, it really wouldn't affect my faith if Jesus rose from the dead or not." And we're like, "What are these people talking about? These are Bible classes." And we both just kind of left just discouraged, and we kind of ran into each other, and that's how we met. And we said, "We just need to pray." And we just decided we are going to pray for this campus. We're going to set our life apart. God was calling us. Sanctify yourself in the area of prayer. Seek me. And we just responded to that call. And then later that year, a big revival broke out on the campus. And Brian Newberry and I were able to be the leaders of that. He was teaching, and we were praying for people. And I was also a resident assistant that year, which means I was in the dorm, and I had responsibility for about 12 freshmen. I'd give them Bible studies and make sure they didn't destroy the place, and make sure they're in on time, and kind of like the big den father there watching over these the freshmen. But then also, I had my own room, which is a blessing. But that room was used as a prayer room. I would come home sometimes 11 o'clock at night, and there'd be 6-7 guys in there just crying out to God, praying, "God, pour your Spirit out down upon this place." We gave ourselves over to the purpose of prayer that God was drawing us into. And a revival broke out, but it was preceded by prayer. We were setting ourselves apart. And it spread through the campus. And here's these people that didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the power of God at all. And God began to baptize people in the Holy Spirit. People began to speak in tongues and prophesy and have words of knowledge. And no one had ever even heard of such things. The school officials sent people in to watch just to make sure that nothing was going on. And the guy left, again, who didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, he said, "Something is happening here that's good. Keep going for it." And I remember this one gal was taught all of her life, the gifts are not for today. We laid hands on her, we prayed for the Spirit. We all sensed the presence of God. And she had a vision right there on the spot. She didn't even believe in visions, but God gave her one. And she began to prophesy right there. It was just exciting. Those are memorial stones that I could look back on the past that have me hunger and thirst for that same type of work among us as a congregation. I don't want to just look to the past, amen. God wants to work that in our life right now. But there's certain things I could look back, and the power of God was there. And you should be able to look back in your life and say, "God met me in these situations." Whether it was miraculous provision and it inspired faith and confidence in you, but some sort of memorial stones they could pile up and says, "The God that I serve is a God of power and might, and he works wonders among us." And I believe that as that begins to happen, as God wants to do that even greater in our midst, he calls us to set ourselves aside for prayer, for seeking after him, for getting ourselves ready for the work that he wants to do right now. I don't want to live in the past. I want to live in the present, amen? Because our God is alive today, and he wants to work these same works of power and might among us.